So we are in the 9th chapter. I'll just summarize briefly what we have studied so far in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Today we'll be doing verses number 12, 13 and 14. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the 9th chapter starts with telling us that this knowledge is the highest knowledge, the supreme knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. It is the supreme knowledge, but it is secret, not secret that it should not be told to the people, but that secret that we need a teacher, somebody like Swami Chinmayananda or the Acharyas that come to tell us the meaning of that, the shlokas, which are in Sanskrit and which are very symbolic. A lot of them are not very simple. You cannot take a Sanskrit to English dictionary and translate and hope to understand the shloka. So that's what it says. It is a secret until it is revealed to us by a guru. And it is pavitram. It is the purifier. It is the highest knowledge which can be experienced directly. You don't have to wait till after death. But in this life itself, you can experience the results of this knowledge. And then he says that it is me who sustains the whole universe. The whole universe is supported by me, just as the space supports the air, space supports all the planets, the stars, the moons. But the space itself is unaffected by what happens in the stars, in the planets. Even the wind, as fast as it moves, cannot move out of space. And space, even though supports, remains uninvolved. So similarly, the Lord is the one that is supporting all of us, all the planets, the stars, even space is supported by the Lord, all the heavens, the earths, all the lower and higher worlds. But the Lord himself supports but does not get affected or involved, but it is necessary for the Lord to be the energy. It is the energy, it is the life, the consciousness that enlivens all of us. But as space is not affected, so the Lord says, I am not affected by what is happening, but I am essential for the world to function. Because it is me who enlivens this. And what he says, the power that I enliven is Prakriti. Prakriti is nature. It is the creative power of the Lord. And Bhagavan says, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat vi parivartate. Bhagavan says that it is in my presence, it is because of me that the Prakriti is enlivened. And then the whole universe of moving and unmoving, everything is created by this creative power called Prakriti or Maya. That's another word that is used. And all beings at the end of their life come back to Prakriti, come back to me. And then when they take a new life, each one of us continues our journey through this from lifetime after lifetime until we reach enlightenment. And also not only us, but this entire universe, all these planets, everything at the end of creation becomes unmanifest, goes into that supreme unmanifest consciousness, which we call Bhagavan, which we call Brahman, the substratum. And then a new creation comes. There is a new Brahmaji created and a new creation comes. So it's a 4 billion year cycle. 4 billion years the universe exists, 4.3 billion. And then it goes into unmanifest state, what is called the night of Brahmaji, which is also another 4 billion years. And then again the universe starts. So he says that the reason I say I myself, because I am not just the son of Vasudev and Devaki, because we think of Bhagavan Sri Krishna as a human being who appeared on earth and was a wiser than us and gave us some wisdom. He says, no, I am the manifestation of the supreme consciousness. Not that he needs to brag or show off, but he needs to make his understanding. When he says me, I support the whole universe, or I am bigger than space, what he means is I, that Brahman, that supreme consciousness. So he's identifying with that. And that's why he says people who do not recognize this and do not take these words as the words of God, he calls us Moodaha, or foolish people. So that is, in brief, what the ninth chapter is. And the main thing of this chapter is that the relationship between me, the world, and God, and that is covered very beautifully, where the Lord is the substratum, it is the energy because of which I am able to speak, it is that power which is supporting everything. And even my thoughts, even though they may move very fast, I may move to India, then I may move to heaven or hell or anywhere, but nothing can go out of that consciousness, Bhagwan, that which is supporting everything. And so that's why Bhagwan is said to be Antaryami. He is the inner controller who knows what I am thinking, and at the same time it is outside. So inside and outside, Bahyantara, it is outside as the total consciousness and inside as the life, but it is only one. It's not there are two. It is one that is the consciousness of all beings, the self of all beings, not only me, but each and every one of us, all humans, beings, plants, birds, animals, fish, everything is sustained and living by that one. So that brings us to the understanding that we are all one, we are all connected, there is no strangers. It is we who make artificial differences, Hindu, Muslim, Indian, American, you know, all those young, old, black, white, male, female. But these are all differences of prakriti, of the bodies, and the mind and the intellect. But inside, we are all one, we are all connected. So that is the essence of this shloka that is given to us. I'm just trying to see if I can project the chat up above. Yeah, there. You should be able to see on the right side of your screen the topics that I'm covering. So one thing that we understand from this is that what we do, we appreciate God and depend on Prakriti. What it means is that we say, oh God, oh, you are so nice, you are so benevolent, you are so kind, compassionate. We appreciate him, yes, very good. But where we say, oh, stay in the temple, stay there, and when I need you, I'll come and ask you for help. And whom do we depend on for our comfort? Prakriti. What is Prakriti? Means the world. We depend on the world for, if I have money, I'll be comfortable, or if I have a lot of friends, I'll be, you know, so we depend on friends or money or our children or our, you know, relationships, if I have a lot of friends, if I have a lot of big companies. So we depend on Prakriti and we appreciate God. Say, oh God, yeah, you are very nice. Yes, but what is my true security? If I have money in my 401k, then I am secure. God, who knows, you know, when he's there somewhere, it's okay, he's there. Maybe after death I'll see him, but I don't think he can do much. What the scriptures tell us that you appreciate Prakriti. Yes, it is okay. We are not saying that you don't need a 401k or a house or a... You appreciate Prakriti but depend on God. So switch it around. What we do, we depend on Prakriti and appreciate God. We say you appreciate Prakriti. Yes, I need it. But my true support is God. That is what I have to depend on. Because we find that this Prakriti, this world will be, today is here, tomorrow won't be there. You know, empires came, the British Empire. They said the sun never sets on the British Empire. What happened? Where is the British Empire? One small little island in Europe, even struggling for survival. The Roman Empire was so huge over the whole world. And where is it now? All we see is ruins. When we go to Italy, we see some Alexander the Great and all these, you know, great emperors came and they thought, oh, I am so... And what happens? With time, they are all gone. only thing that is permanent is God, and that is what we have studied so far. So today we'll do verse number 12. And at the end, if somebody has any questions, please feel free to ask. You can make a note as we are going along. So we'll do the verse number 12. Gulshan and Kamlesh will be chanting with us. Chapter 9, verse number 12. Mogha sha mogha karmanah.
Mogha sha mogha karmanah.
Mogha jnana vichetasah.
Mogha jnana vichetasah.
Rakshasimasurim chaiva. Prakritim mohinim shritah.
Prakritim mohinim shritah.
Moghasha mogha karmanah. Mogha jnana vichetasah. Rakshasimasurim chaiva. Prakritim mohinim shritah. Okay, so Bhagavan says that people who are materialistic, who only depend on the world and their whole concept is how the world can give me happiness and do not consider me as anything useful. So he says he has given us some adjectives that describe us. It's not these people are not somewhere sitting somewhere else or, but it is you and me who, when we don't understand, then what are our adjectives? How do they describe us? So it says mogha ashaha. Asha means desire. So they have vain desires. Vain means foolish, not clear, not right. Right is wrong desires. Mogha karmanaha, and their actions are wrong, vain actions. Mogha jnana, and why? Because their knowledge, they do not have right understanding. Therefore, their desires are wrong and their actions are wrong. And why is that? Vichetasaha, because their mind is gone. You know, we have a phrase, are you out of your mind? That is what? Where we don't think, we don't have the right understanding, because we don't have the right thinking. And then he describes these people as Rakshasa and Asura. Very strong words Bhagavan uses, Rakshasa and Asura. We think they are the same, but they are different, and we'll discuss that in the class. So he says these are Rakshasim, Asurim, Prakritim, Mohinim, Shritaha. So these people have qualities of Rakshas and Asura. And they are the deluded. They are, don't think correctly. They are deluded. So these are not, again, Rakshas. Asura is not Ravana or Hiranyakashyapu or somebody in history. It is you and me. When we don't understand, then we act like Rakshas, we act like Asura. So that's what he says. These people have the wrong desires, wrong understanding, wrong knowledge, and wrong actions, and they behave like demons. Why? Because their thinking is deluded. So Gurudev, in his commentary and in different places, he says that what is the source of problem is wrong desires. I do not have the right desire. I do not have noble desires. When my desires are dishonest, when my desires are illegal, immoral, whatever, then my thoughts, in the intellect, the wrong desires arise, and in my mind, the thoughts arise. Okay, now I have this wrong desire. I must go and do it. I'm not supposed to eat sugar, but I get a desire. It's okay. Once in a while, laddu is today's puja. And so from puja, I got this big Tirupati laddu. It doesn't matter whether you get Tirupati laddu or whether you get a chocolate from the chocolate store. Calories are the same. The body doesn't say, oh, this is Tirupati laddu, so I should. No, you will still gain weight. I'm not saying that one should not eat laddu from Tirupati. Please don't understand that. What I'm saying is that anything that you put in your body will have its effect, whether it's physically or any thoughts you put in your mind, any knowledge you get from the internet, whatever you read, hear, listen, everything. So that wrong desires creates wrong thoughts and then wrong actions. And then repeated actions create vasanas. And vasanas are inherent tendencies that become so strong, then they determine my whole life, not only this life, but multiple lifetimes. And so what happens is that we think that I am here to consume, you know, buy, as even the whole media tells us, the advertising, you know, there's a new iPhone, you need to buy it, new computer, new car, new this, new that, you know, and there's a new development, everybody's buying homes there. If you don't own a home on that development by the golf course, then somehow, you know, you will be excluded, you will be inferior. So all this publicity, this media makes us consume, buy more and more and more, produce more and more. Cars, we just get rid of cars every 3 years, phone every year, computer every year. We keep changing our house, our clothes. And so what that does is when we consume, then factories obviously produce. So 24 hours a day, factories in China, Korea, somewhere are making new phones, new computers. Why? Oh, because these fools in America are buying. And that's what happens. We keep on consuming. And ultimately, we realize that the world has limited resources. Our earth has only so much, you know, gas, so much petrol, so much metal. So, and energy, everything, when we are overusing, over-consuming, then we are polluting the atmosphere, creating all the problems. So it is over-consumption. So they say live a life, and we'll talk about that, life of simplicity. And what we think that by making, and even if there's a problem comes in my life, I think I make a temporary adjustment, you know, because these things are temporary. They give me joy for a while, then I want something more. But then sooner or later, I find that I get problems. So what I think by making adjustments in my life, how do I make adjustments? I change the door. You know, I have door facing west. Somebody comes and tells me, you know, if you start your door facing east, all your problems will go away. I mean, there is a science. I'm not saying that. But to think that all my problems will go away by changing the direction of my door, or, you know, these people are, I don't like these people, let me remove them from my list and let me get to remove three and bring four. Again, if there's problems, they will also create problems. Like, I should change my house or change my city, change my job, change my spouse. You know, we keep making changes after changes, but we find that they are not going to give me that which is permanent. Same thing, we think money will buy us happiness. Money, yes, can get you comfort, but to truly get you happiness, if you see wealthy people, are they happy? In fact, they have more stress because they are worried about who will take away my money, how to save the money, all that. The example they give is there is a boss and there is a secretary. Now this boss just sits in the office. The secretary does all the work. She moves the papers. So when I go, I need something. Like in India, you go to a government office, it's the secretary or the peon who does. So I start worshiping the secretary, you know, giving her gifts and this and that, because she's doing all my work. But the secretary will change, you know, but the owner of the company, the boss who is the owner, will always be there. So tomorrow she's not there. Then again, now I'm looking. That's what we say. We worship Prakriti, who is the secretary, who is doing all the work. But we forget who is the owner of the company. The Prakriti will keep on changing. And if I depend on one thing, tomorrow I will need something else. But hold on to the boss, who is the owner of this company, and then your problems. Because what happens in our life, problems come by doing worldly, these minor adjustments. Can I delay old age? Can I delay death? No, I can't. Sooner or later, sickness, they all come. But if you understand that I am not this body, I am that Atman, I am not the wave, I am the ocean, I am that infinite consciousness, then even whatever happens in this world, even if the ups and downs come, I am not affected. That understanding again and again every week, I say that because that has to become. So when I wake you from your sleep and I ask you, what is your name? You should not say, my name is Sudha or Harsha or Kusum. I am Brahman. I am that Atman. I am that conscious. That's how, even if somebody wakes you from deep sleep and says, who are you? That should be. If that answer comes, then the knowledge is. So until then, you keep on repeating to yourself, not mechanically, but understand that I am that. And Bhagavan says that these people act as Asura and Rakshas. Now, Asura and Rakshas, we think they are the same. But I was reading commentary and what they say, that difference between Asura and Rakshas. Asura comes from Sura. Sura means the pranas. So pranas means my internal organs, the circulatory, digestive and all those systems. So asuras are ones who say that I have to do everything to keep myself happy and enjoy. Khao, piyo, maja karo. Eat, drink and be merry. And so their whole life is spent in that. And in that they even cheat people. They as long as I get what I want, that's all that matters. So their life is built around that. Rakshas are a little worse. Rakshas comes from na raksha, ma raksha, do not protect. Means they don't protect anything, they become violent. They're willing to kill people, they're willing to create, indulge in all kind of violence. They also want to get things that they don't need or they don't deserve, but they're ready to kill. Asuras maybe will cheat or do something behind, but these people will come and kill you. So that is what the difference, and we see in history, again we said it's not necessarily only in the Puranas, but even today we find people who are willing to do anything to get themselves rich, and a lot of them become leaders and of the countries, and we find that the countries don't do well when the leaders have this kind of thinking. So but the thing about these asuras and rakshasas are that they are not even sorry. They don't even feel any inner conscience. Slowly they have killed the conscious. So they have not even any, I'm not trying to depress, but that is the fact. And the next shloka is very optimistic. So not trying to get everybody depressed. But these people are not even sorry. Talking about sorry, there are a person who has done wrong and then says sorry. What do you call him? You call him honest. He did the wrong thing and he said, I'm sorry. One who is not sure if he has done wrong or not, and if he says sorry, what do you call him? A wise person. He's not sure, but he's saying, I'm sorry. It's okay. A person who has done completely right thing and still says sorry, who has not done anything wrong, has done right, and still says sorry, what do you call him? Husband. So the point is that in life, when we do wrong things, we have to admit it. We have to say we are sorry. And just one line about this pandemic, what it has done is it has forced us to stop consuming. We are not going out shopping as much. We are not going to restaurants, not going on cruises, not going on plane trips, and tourism, everything is down. Airlines are suffering. I know it's bad, people are losing jobs. But what this should make us realize that yes, instead of saying, oh, I'm not able to go out, I'm not able to enjoy, I'm not able to indulge, I'm not able to have fun, let us take this time to look at the simple things in life. What is really important in life? Simple does not mean that you don't eat or drink or enjoy, but what is truly important? Truly important is our family. Pay attention to the spouse, to each other. What do they really think? What we do is we come home after having worked, and then come home and then have dinner. Uske baad each one is on their own phone, and I'm on my phone texting somebody else, checking my email, my WhatsApp, and I'm talking to some WhatsApp group in India while my spouse sitting next to me, I have ignored that person for so many years, or my children. We don't have time to sit and talk to our children and understand what is it that they really want in life? What are the problems? We say, oh, everything is fine in school. Yes, say fine. How was school? Fine. But we don't take time to sit down and see what problems they're having with their children. Now with all this online, you know, people and children are going to be under a lot of stress. And then maybe our neighbors, you know, right now we can't meet with neighbors, but if there are maybe one or two families with whom you can get close, or if nothing else, even with social distancing, but try to see, or our family in India whom we haven't talked to in a while, you have extra time, pick up your WhatsApp and talk. So these are the simple things that will connect us to people and ultimately to our own self. So utilize this time to get to know people that you haven't done, and appreciate the simple things we have in life. Even though I don't have all the comforts, but look at it, it's 100 degrees outside and we are sitting in air-conditioned comfort talking about the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Lord's teaching, how blessed we are. And there are so many people, you know, who don't even have water, who don't have, you know, don't even have a roof on their heads. So learn to appreciate this instead of complaining, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't go to the parties, I can't do my karaoke parties, I can't get together with my friends and drink. It's okay, time will come. And even when time comes back, even when this goes away, do not forget the lessons that this pandemic has taught us. Let us not go back to our old ways where I'm buying, consuming, but appreciate the simple things in life. Right? So this is what this verse tells us, that people who only think about world and prakriti, they are like rakshas, they are like asuras, and they have wrong understanding. So when you have the, and why do they have wrong understanding? Because they are deluded. Prakriti mohini shritaha.